Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back. Another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy back with another conversation that I'm hoping helps you and your business grow. I'm sitting here and I'm going, man, how am I going to validate all of it? My business, my ideas, everything. And as usual, I'm struggling. So I've brought in an expert. Now, before we get into that, I do want to let you know that today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. With me today, I have Kelly Ratty. Kelly is an international keynote speaker. She's written several books. She loves superpowers and Wonder Woman and is an expert on validation, and is exactly why I've got you here with me today. Kelly, welcome to Startup Hustle.
Thank you, Matt. I'm so glad to be here. And I feel like my single goal is for you to leave feeling validated. How's that?
Well, and we're going to get all into that and maybe all the rest of the problems that I have in and around my life and business. So now, before we get into that, for my sake and the sake of the listeners, give us a little bit about your backstory.
Awesome. Well, first and foremost, huge fan of Wonder Woman and what she stands for. And I'm going to come back to that later.
Sure.
But I grew up in rural town. Anybody who's watched Little House on the Prairie knows where I grew up. I grew up by Sleepy Eye in Mankato and went off to college to be a pilot. Didn't work so well for a girl who'd never really flown before, who got motion sick every time she'd fly her lesson. That was my first reality where I had to make a left turn, if you will, and figure out how to be resilient, find a new path, figure out what's next. And from there, walked away with an aviation degree, PR degree, worked for the airlines for years, and ended up getting married, having a baby, living back in central Minnesota. We call it God's country up here. And started working for a healthcare company as a spokesmom. You heard me right. Spokesmom. I had been an at-home mom by choice for more than a decade. And knew that all of a sudden I was itchy. I was like, I loved being Kelly Ratty, public relations woman, expert. Then I went from being a professional to being mom. And let me tell you, for any women out there listening, career women who've made that shift, we have a whole lot of identity wrapped up in our careers. And to shift from PR professional to mom, there was some changes going on. And it was a decade later, I got itchy for another career change. And that's when I took the job as spokesmom. And when they said that, I thought there was a mistake, spokesperson. But they were actually looking for somebody who could relate at eye level with moms in the communities they served. And so that's how I got the gig and really cut my teeth as a speaker and continued to do that for several years. All the while, there was this little tiny voice in my head saying, someday you're going to write a book. Someday you should write a book and be your own boss. And so that's where my entrepreneurial spirit started to grow inside me. And bless his heart, I'm married to a man who doesn't mince words. And one day I was talking on and on again about how someday I'm going to be my own boss. Someday I'm going to write and speak. And finally he looked at me and he goes, Kelly, when someday? And I kind of looked at him and went, what? Seriously, when someday? You're not getting any younger, honey, is what he said to me. So that was the kick in the pants I needed. Like I said, bless his heart. Take that how you want. I quit my job and jumped in both feet into writing my first book, which just paved the way for speaking. And that is what I do to this day. I get to go out and meet amazing people. And my goal is to really help people empower and activate what I call their inner superpowers, which is really Wonder Woman talk for character qualities, gifts, talents that you have in order to live your fullest and most productive lives, whatever that looks like for you.
So a couple things. First off, you and Mrs. DeCourcy could probably have several drinks over the discussion of being married to people that don't mince words. Your husband, honestly, I think gave you very valid and great advice. One of the things I've talked about a lot is everyone's sitting around waiting for the quote right time. Yeah, that ain't coming, people. You got to figure
it
out.
There's no such thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And now for those of you listening, if you want to learn more about Kelly, while we talk about Kelly and to Kelly, you can go down to the show notes and go to radditowrite.com. That's R-A-D-I. So, and oh yeah, one last thing. So we at Startup Hustle actually have the founder of Innovate Her KC, and she is one of our hosts. So if you want to hear more Wonder Woman type stuff, listen to Lauren Conway's episodes. They're great. They come out every Thursday. We're probably going to have to give her a second day of the week because it's been so popular, but that's it's a lot of fun. And we, you know, Kelly, we recently branched out and added a few additional hosts, largely because me, as a middle-aged white dude from the suburbs of Kansas City, I didn't have a whole lot of perspective on being a spokesmom or Wonder Woman. And, you know, we wanted to give a different point of view from that. That's gone well. Now, as far as a lot of the advice that I believe that you'll be able to give me, it's not about boys and girls. It's some of it when it comes to validation and finding success and finding a lot of things, it's repeatable on so much of the process. Now, sure, we all have a different set of options and a different journey and different obstacles. But in the end, what I found, and you know, you've written a couple books, and you know, the first one is called Out to Sea, A Parent's Guide to Freshman Voyage. So I have a daughter that's about 6, and I'm already terrified of that day. So I might get this book and start reading it now to get a plan together. And your second book, and I love this title, is Wonderful, and that's F-U-L-L, Activate Your Inner Superpowers, No Cape Required. Now, love that too. So one of the questions that I ask regularly of people, usually towards the end of an episode when we're chatting, is what are your superpowers? But I'm going to move that to the top. So if we're going to define superpowers, let's just get it out of the way. What are yours?
Oh, my superpowers. Gosh, I ask everybody else. It's kind of fun to have somebody ask me. My superpowers start with the people I surround myself with. And that's something I do talk about in the book, is the power of people. And the people you put in your inner circle, the people you choose, because it's a choice, can either raise or lower your standards. So I get my superpower from my people. And people inspire and validate me in order to do what I do. But I think there's so many superpowers. I would say I have the power of voice. I have the luxury, the opportunity to use my voice as my career. And probably the biggest superpower I share with other people is truly loving on and validating people. Because if you're a leader and you want to bring out the best in your team, You know, there's an old saying, my grandma used to say it, you get more bees from honey than vinegar,
honey, yeah.
Something along yeah. that lines. Same thing. If you want to get the most out of your teams as a leader, you got to build them up. You got to bring out the best. That doesn't mean you don't correct. That doesn't mean you don't work through problems, but you want somebody to perform for you. Let them know you appreciate them. It's so simple. It's PR 101. It's human relations 101. And that all comes from respect.
So, and I agree with everything you said. Now on the flip side of that, one of the things as a leader that I found is, well, A, everyone's different. So we all have a different personality style, and our own personality style reacts differently to people that have the same personality style or different ones than us. And, you know, as I'm in my mid 40s now, and I've evolved as a leader and a person, and have done a better job of understanding that. But I have learned that there are some people that you pull, and there's others that you push, and there is a whole subcategory of stuff under each of those. Have you found the same thing? Because you talk about validating and building you up. Like, I can do that to X degree, but then it's up to you to do it on yourself. And like, one of the things that people, I'll get other entrepreneurs to say, well, I want some advice. How do I motivate my people? And I'll say, you can't. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, you can for like a very brief amount of time, but in the end, they have to motivate themselves. So what are your thoughts on that topic, especially with different types of people? Because you mentioned the power of voice. So you're an extrovert, probably, like I am, which means that our voice is a lot different than someone that's an introvert. So what's your take on all of that when it comes to leadership, communication, and validation?
Well, I do think it is circumstantial as well as individual. And for example, I told you, my husband said, you're not getting any younger. Is that really validating? Or is that the kick in the pants I needed at that moment?
Which was it?
That both. No, it was actually the kick in the pants I needed. It was in his own unique and not so subtle way, was saying, you have my blessing to do this. He isn't a guy, I don't require permission. He isn't one who says you need my permission, but he was saying, I got your back, jump, do it, try it. And so it's being able as a leader, if we're talking about leading a team, being able to read your people, taking the time to know them, not manage them, but to know them and lead them so that you know. So I'm going to know, okay, Matt needs this approach, whereas so-and-so, Lauren, might want a different approach. It's understanding. There's something we say in the speaking world, and that's know your audience. I'm not going to go in and give the same presentation, you know, program to a group of 16-year-old girls, high school women, that I would to a room of 40-something Matt's entrepreneurs. So it's knowing the audience and customizing the fit a little bit. Make sense?
Yeah. And that's kind of case in point what I was saying. Now, you know, one of the things that you talk about, you know, the pushing or pulling, all right, some people, if you said, hey, you're not getting any younger, they're going to go back to their office and cry.
And absolutely.
So that's probably not the right approach with that person. It's not. Now, at the same time, if you have someone that you pull, now I find that the type B personalities respond better to pull. Mm-hmm. Type A goes a little better with push, because the type A personalities have a little thicker skin on some days, like, and they just don't care. Like, they're just kind of like, you know, and get moving. Yeah. So now one of the things, and this is an interesting male female dynamic, and this is an interesting question. Do you think that leadership should or needs to handle men and women differently?
I do think we are different creatures. I think it's a delicate topic line to pigeonhole everybody together. I actually think it's not as much man and woman as you just said, personality type A, personality type B. I think it's even before that, as a leader, personal accountability is so important. Teaching that and modeling that. I can't expect my team to model healthy communication and personal accountability and respecting each other, regard male, female, whatever the category you want to put people in, if I'm not doing it myself. So I do have I get on my soapbox about modeling the personal accountability from a leadership standpoint. So then whether they are pushed or pulled, it's very clear what the expectations are.
Sure. I think that's an important part too. I think regardless of who you're speaking to, man, woman, type A, type B, if you don't clearly define where you expect people to be, like, what are we trying to do here, people? Like, this, what are we trying to accomplish? And it's shocking how many people and businesses and people that are attempting to lead don't do that. You know, like, and the bigger your company gets and the faster it gets. So at my company, Full Scale, we got to 200 employees in 2 years, and that's a lot. And then we did it. Well, and we did it here and on the other side of the world in the Philippines. So not only were we growing, I mean, 13 hours difference in time zone, completely different cultures, completely different laws, completely different everything. So,
and the cultural differences have to add. I mean, let me ask, can I ask the question?
Yeah.
What were some of the cultural differences? Because I believe we have different thoughts, expectations, if you want to go down the male-female path here, whereas in other countries, there are different expectations and roles than what we have here. Not judging right, wrong, good, bad, different.
So in regards to just the culture and the way so we took a lot of norms and shattered them because they weren't right. Just meaning like there is a level of progressiveness that needed to occur. So, you know, we're a tech services provider, and in the US, in most quote tech companies, the tech workers, like the programmers, people like that, all dudes. I mean, like, you're lucky if you find one out of 50 female here in the US. Now, we at 20% of our staff is female for tech.
Wow.
And that's completely different there. But some of the things that they had weird expectations at times, you know, sometimes that, you know, men or women had different roles. I'm like, no, we're here. We're doing the same stuff. So some of that just kind of got it out of the way. I think the most important thing for us along the way was to continue to be transparent and openly define what are we trying to accomplish. So we did some things like, well, so our company is a little different because with all the 180 employees over there, we serve our clients here. So with that, you had a disconnect with people that are 13 time zones apart. And it's easy to let those people that are remote workers easily just end up feeling like a cog in a machine. So we did a lot of things both on the client side and on the employee side. Like, we use the term client obsessed. We're obsessed with our client's success. And the reason for that is it gives our employees, well, they have a purpose-driven life. And you realize and really emphasizing the importance that they have. Like, hey, what you get up and do every day makes a big difference for our clients. You help them win, whether you see it firsthand every day, you are vital. And that part right there, regardless of gender or culture or whatever, is I believe is really important wherever you're at. There are statistics that show that the highest performing businesses and companies focus on that purpose-driven anything, because otherwise you just feel like you're going through the motions. So if you feel like you're important, you feel like you're necessary, and you feel like you're part of the team, and my often co-host Matt Watson says a lot, he goes, people just want to know if they're winning or losing. So on some of that, it was about being transparent and being open, and why not? So, You know, and then it's different in our company too, because as we serve dozens and dozens of clients, our business model is our employees just work directly for our clients. So they report to the clients, they do everything. So technically we have about 40 different work cultures.
That's amazing.
Piled in under ours. So it can be a little different, try to smooth it out. I mean, for us, really, it just came down to communication and tools. And that's always still a challenge, obviously, the quarantine stuff. We built our own management system about a year and a half prior to that. And it took us a year and a half. We questioned whether we should be putting resources into that. And then all of a sudden we look like geniuses for having built it.
You did.
But that was just little things that, well, it was just things that instigated feedback. So you talk about validation and some of the things like, once again, are we winning or losing? Like, I find that adult professionals want it. They're that. Like, we look for people that are in the top tier of what they do. And being a designer, a developer, any of that can be challenging on your mind, because sometimes you put a lot of effort and work, you have pride in something, you show it to someone, they're like, this is shit. We're throwing it away.
Yeah.
And you got to get used to that. Like, I wouldn't be that great at that all the time, because here's the thing is, in the end, it is what it is. But making sure that not only us, but our clients would define, okay, why was this shit? Tell me why. Tell me what I can do to do this better, faster, or cheaper. So, yeah, I mean, well, there was a lot of challenges there.
I don't know if you caught
the what?
You used the word, when you were describing your teams, you're like, they know they're vital. Okay. So if what I created is not what we're looking for, I know I'm vital because they want me to make it better. I mean, it's the V words. Yeah. Vital. We talked about validation. Letting someone know they're vital is a form of validation.
Yeah.
And I always say, so people know they're valued and valuable.
Right.
Which can be two different things.
We found some interesting statistics recently as we just reviewed stuff. We have never churned a female developer out of our lineup. They all still work for us. We have like a 100% retention rate, which I was shocked. I was like, wow. But I love that. And we're actually putting an emphasis on. So in the Philippines, it's just basically culturally on some days it's a little behind. Now, we're well aware of the fact that there's a gender gap or a income gap with genders, but it's even more pronounced there. But we, like, once again, demolish that. So that probably has something to do with the retention, because we're offering the same opportunities. But I think that that's important. And really for us, it's just about results. And I think that's, you know, we're talking about leadership and validation. To me, the only thing that validates the effort, the vision, any of that, is the results. And I think some people don't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I said, from an employee standpoint, there's also validation in a paycheck. And you just mentioned gender gap or income gap. There's validation in a paycheck. If I'm sitting there making half of what my counterpart who's doing the same job is, that's not particularly validating or not going to help retention. So you nailed it.
Yeah, and that's, that's true.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier too, just with bringing on Lauren and how you as a white dude in the suburbs, and that is probably one of the biggest misconceptions I get about me and what I do, is that because I often am asked, now I speak to corporate groups and associations and mixed gender groups. However, when my book came out, I was told, you need to focus on one target audience and like, who needs it right now? And I said that I really do want to write this book for women. The messaging, like you said earlier, is not women exclusive, but people assume because Kelly Ratty talks about real life Wonder Woman, talks to a lot of women's groups, that I'm a man hater. And I think that is so short-sighted. First of all, it's not true. Love men, need men. I see us linking arms with men. I see what you're doing it's not putting women on a pedestal either. It's treating everybody as equals for the work they're doing and the people they are. And oftentimes when people start bringing up gender gap or income gap, there's a handful of population that simply tune out because, oh, there they go down that road. It's like, no, it's real stuff, but it's not about an us versus them. It's about joining together to do better work. And like you said, get to the
sure.
end game.
Well, that's why we did that. Yeah. That's why we did that with Startup Hustle. And, you know, it's actually, I was really nervous about that because we had 300 episodes with just Matt Watson and I as the hosts. Yeah. And then now we have an e-commerce expert. We have, you know, Lauren focuses on female stuff. I mean, it's everything from leadership to innovation to all of it, but it was about perspective. And, you know, I'll never forget a moment when I was in a sociology class at Kansas University, and the professor held up a picture of a cow, and the cow was standing sideways. It looked all white. All right. He said, "Can anyone tell me that this isn't a spotted cow?" And it was just a simple little exercise, because you can't say that isn't a spotted cow, because you can't see the whole cow. You can't see the other side of it. You can't see the top of it. You can't see the bottom of it. But it was a very brilliant example. I mean, here I am 25 years later remembering that. And that always stuck with me because it's the same way with entrepreneurs and problem solving. Like, and that's where, you know, we talk about diversity and a lot of different things. Get a lot of different people in your team that are going to look at things from a different point of view. Like you as the spokesmom, or me as someone different, like we would have completely different sets of input. And I get that. We get that in our own planning and groups all the time. You talk about becoming wonderful. Well, if you want to become wonderful, you have to have, like, because the whole path to getting there is about having all these different perspectives. You can't just look at the side of the cow and say that it's not spotted. You could, the other side of that cow could have 50 spots on it, you know,
so there's a lot stripes.
You never know. So the whole thing is walk around it, get above it, climb below it, pick its tail up, look in its mouth, you know, talk
to the cow
and don't eat it. Maybe later, the point is, and I think that's why, you know, I find it to be interesting that your comments about, is she a man hater? And the funny thing is like, I think that's an unfair statement. So I wrote a book about entrepreneurship. Would that make me a woman hater? Like, it's not fair to you. Like, men don't get that same shit. And I think that's kind of funny. So, I mean, honestly, I would say that from the outside looking in, the entrepre-mom,
yeah, there we go.
Has a much harder path because in America, men often expect women, despite the fact that they're a parent too, to do more of the work.
I don't remember the exact numbers. But there was a study, and it was, I'm going to massacre the numbers, but it was something like 70, like even if both partners, male, female partners are working full time, that the female still had, it was 75 or 85% of household chores were her expectation. And
that makes being an entrepreneur or being successful in life a much more challenging situation. So, and you know, we mentioned at the top of the episode, we all have a different path to doing stuff. Now things are repeatable. And predictable. Now, before we talk more about that, once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io. We'll help you solve your problems. How about that? So now I've mentioned a couple times the repeatable nature of success. I know you're not a fan of the word balance. I have a feeling that comes with the work-life thing. Now, I wrote a book called Balance Me. It's the realest guide to a successful life. Now, I don't believe in work-life balance. I do talk about personal, professional, and physical. I believe those are the three elements of your life. And I also very quickly, because people on the outside looking in, they're like, you wrote a book about life balance. I wrote a book about how you will probably never have balance. But understanding where it might exist is a good start in getting the control over certain parts of your life that have gone out of control. Why don't you like the word balance when it comes to work-life harmony?
So I look at it as harmony as opposed to balance. I think as we talked, about earlier, that the standards that we're supposed to uphold as women in this case, with the all the extra housework, whatever it is, I see so many women in the career stages of life striving for the unattainable balance, for this thing called perfection that is a myth. Perfection is a myth. It doesn't exist. And so I like to change the word. And the method behind that is, if you think about work-life balance as an orchestra, did you play an instrument in the band at all growing up?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you play?
I played the tuba because I was the only kid big enough to carry it home.
It's okay, Mr. Tuba. I played the piccolo. Opposite end.
Completely different hauling dynamic there.
I can fit my piccolo inside your tuba. Okay, used to carry.
Or about 150 piccolos. Yeah.
Yeah, my girlfriend who played the trombone would throw my piccolo case in her case, and then I just didn't have to worry about it. Anyway, smart. We digress. If you think about the band. Let's go back to high school. You with your tuba, I'm over here with my piccolo. And you've got the director with the master script in front of you, the ideal, what it's supposed to look like. There are parts of that master sheet of music where the director is up there with the stick going, come on, louder, 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 louder. We need to hear the brass. Woodwinds, simmer down. A little bit later, it's all about the percussion. And everybody else has to be quiet. Sometimes it all makes beautiful music together. It depends on the day, the point in the music, who needs to be heard, who needs the attention and the energy of the director at that moment. That's my thought process behind it. In my life, I'll pick on me. So I have a couple of kids. I got to worry about them. I've got a career. I've got clients. I've got a marriage. I've got family. I've got parents and in-laws and all the push-pull volunteer commitments. There's some days where I need to make everything else quiet so I can take care of Kelly. I might need a day for my mental well-being to take care of me. That's where my energy and my time and my thought goes. And other days, it's got to be all about the career. I've got XYZ, three programs to give that week. I've got to focus. And you know what? Somebody else needs to handle this, this, and this for me. So I just really look at it instead of perfect, teeter-totter or seesaw. Depends on where you grow up, whether it's the perfect balance and the teeter-totter, or I look at it, let's go for harmony so that ultimately it all works together. But Tuesday might be more about career and Friday might be more about kids. Make sense?
Yeah, sure. My take on that with the three Ps as personal, professional, and physical was more along the lines, like I actually in the book say that finding that balance moment is kind of like a kid spinning a top, like a toy. You know, it's like you spin it and it's got this tight rotation and it's there it goes and it slows down a little bit and it wobbles and it falls. And you got to pick it back up and spin the thing again. Really, and without going into a long dissertation on this, you know, the thing is in those three categories, if you're overly invested in one of the three, then eventually the other two will come back to claim that balance in some ways.
Oh,
so if you're
like
overinvested, so if you put, and you only have 100% of your own effort. So if you put 90% of your effort into professional for too long, you will have underinvested in your personal and your physical being. And maybe you have a health problem because you're fat and you're out of shape and you're not paying attention. And now here's the thing is the perfect example is if you have an issue or you get sick or something like that, you're no longer going to be able to put 90% of that effort into your professional life. On the personal side, if all you do is work, you're never around your family, your wife might leave you, your kids may end up rotten, you got to end up with dealing with all that exact same situation. It comes
it's
back
gonna
to
whack
kind of balance.
Everything else on a balance.
Yeah. Yep. So, and you know, now the thing is though, is that it is people have asked me, they're like, well, what's perfect balance? I'm like, I have no idea, man. It's different for you than it is for me. So, you know, we all have different things that make us tick and different motivators. And we're talking about being wonderful. I would challenge everyone listening to what are the things that make you tick? If you don't understand what makes you move and like what you're passionate about and what you really want to do, you shouldn't be complaining about why you're not getting what you want out of life because you haven't even defined it. Like sit down and define it. I've learned a few things. I've been married twice. I'm better at it the second time than I was the first one, but the first go at it, I went to a marriage counselor with my ex-wife, and he's like, dude, you need to take care of you and make yourself number one, because if you can't do the things that make you happy, you trying to assist others and becoming happy is not a fair goal. So,
and
yeah.
Didn't that make you more successful second time around? We learned more.
Well, it made me more successful in general, because
exactly.
As a leader, I take the, in life, it doesn't mean just at work. I buy a lot of stock in myself and my ability to bring the best out in people. So if I'm not doing that, or I'm failing, like it becomes quite frustrating or defeating to me, especially when it occurs in my own home. So yeah, I mean, there's so many different things. Now, the validation that we've talked about, and I want to let's get into this. So, how do you define validation?
I would say a combination of respect and praise and verbalizing it or speaking it in the other person's language. I don't know if you've ever read The Love Languages.
I've skimmed it.
It's a little more faith-based on right. bringing out the best in a relationship. And I really apply a lot of those to the people in my life. So how I'm going to validate my 24-year-old daughter is going to be much different than how I validate my 21-year-old daughter in terms of who they are. Again, who they are. So I would say it's words of affirmation. It might be, we talked about validation in a paycheck. For some people, a simple little note on their desk is like, they noticed, they saw the win, you know, whereas for somebody else, it's a gift card. For somebody else, it's a day off. You know, it's whatever that looks like. You use that word vital. It's making people know they're vital, however that is for them.
So, and this is, I think we have a slightly different definition of validation. So that some of that stuff I think would fall into what I would call acknowledgement, mm-hmm. which is part of validation without a doubt. But here's this is where I'm often at fault as a person, because I'm very zeros and ones. So like when I think validation, I think results. Like what are the results? So like in a startup, validation is revenue. Or milestones. And so that's the thing though. It's like I threw myself under the bus there, because my personality type, I'm like a 99 out of 100 for drive. So like, it's like results, 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 bottom line, bottom line, bottom line, which makes me remarkably insensitive on some days, according to some people that might have the same last name as me.
I was going to say, how's Mrs. Yeah. Kersey doing?
Well, she's all right. She's a trooper. So I warned her. I warned her ahead of time before we got married. And that is a true story.
What you're getting into,
honey. Well, I was 35 years old at that point, and I told her, I said, you know, and she's a little younger than me. I said, look, I need to just tell you that the likelihood that I'm going to change is probably not very high. Like, because I think a lot of people get into relationships, including business partnerships, and they think, oh, I can change this person. I can do this. I can do that. Well, you have a better chance of shaping that direction for someone when they're younger. But I was 35, and like, here's the thing: the stats kind of show. I'm like, as Popeye says, "I am who I am."
I am and who I am.
Yeah. So, but you know, with that, I think that some of that we've talked this episode about different things about, like, okay, what are we trying to do here? What lay it out? Like, I think just that really in the end, just open communication. I think too many people are
back to communication. Absolutely.
Right. Right. And in my book Balance Me, that's one of the things I have a whole section on is understanding your personality type compared to others. You have a much better time communicating your message when it's delivered in the language. You mentioned the love languages. That's all about, like, how can I tell you that I love you and you believe that I'm not full of shit? Well, and that's really what that is. I mean, yes, correct. Correct. And so that's one of the things I think if you, as a leader or helping other people be wonderful, as that's been, I love that keyword here. I also had a text message string with Lauren Conaway from Innovate Her, where I've invented about 500 words that have her at the end of it.
Oh, yes.
I encouraged her to be a good promote her.
promote her.
So yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Text me any references. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you got it. So, ooh, I like that one. I'm writing that down.
Oh, yeah.
But no, the important thing is, I think, if you want to be wonderful, is understanding what you're chasing. And then if you can help other people get what they want, which oftentimes is dramatically different than what you want, like, what do you want, Kelly? Like, I sit down with my employees at some point, and not always right away, but sit down. I say, you know, I say, Kelly, what do you really want? And people are like, well, I want to grow with the company. I want to make more money. I want to bring more. But what do you want? Like, you personally, like, what do you want? Like, way past what this conference room is surrounded by. And, oh, I see. You mean me? Yeah. You tell me what you want. So you'd be really surprised if you ask people that, you know, and get to the bottom of it. Cause the thing is if you can help others get what they want, you're going to get what you want. Like, you will end up getting that. And people have different motivations. Like, I've had some employees that they want to buy a house. Okay, well, what do we need? Okay, so if that's a goal of yours, let's talk about some of the things that we can do here that will assist you with that. So
exactly.
Bang, bang,
oh my
bang,
gosh.
Bang, bang. Now, yeah.
Total personal example on that. Like, wow.
Please share it.
I was a student, aviation student, mind you, at the University of North Dakota. I am 19 years old, and I'm interviewing for a coveted internship at an airline, Fortune 500 company. And again, I'm 19. I'm a hick from the sticks. I'm interviewing with the VP of whatever the branch of this particular, you know, the division was for a job in an internship in flight ops. And I'm sitting there, and it's actually a panel. It's two men, I would say 50s, and 19-year-old Kelly in her first business suit she's ever bought. And I'm sitting there interviewing, and it was that question, you know, what would be your personal and professional goals, or what do you see in 5 years and 10 years? And in a corporate interview, oh yeah, I want to be a wife and a mother. Guess what? They were both married to at-home moms. They were both fathers who saw this kid answer it honestly. And so I do want my career first, but I also want the option of that someday. I got the job. And they told the one guy then ended up being my boss years down the road. And he's like, you were the first person to be brutally honest and not spew corporate talk at us. So we knew that when you spoke to us, you would tell the truth, even though it wasn't what you were supposed to say. So right there, I mean, it's what do you want?
So I growing up, my mom was a flight attendant for TWA and was gone all the time. So if I was on the other side of that table and you gave me that answer, I actually would have been very honest. And I would have said, you should know before you get into this, that all the travel could make some of that hard for you. That doesn't mean you can't do it, but you need to consider that. Cause here's the thing is, and for those listening that don't have kids, it changes you. It doesn't matter who you are. It changes you. And if you're gone a lot, that's a big thing. And, you know, like prior to it, to the timeline that starts with my book, Million Dollar Bedroom, I had travel jobs and I was gone a lot and I didn't mind it because I was single. And as I got a little older, I was like, man, I don't know if I can keep doing this because I was even talking to like my coworkers that had been with great company, great job, doing really well. But my coworkers that had done it for 20 years. So like, they're like, dude, you're a young guy. Like, you're not going to live a normal life if you keep this job. And cause you would travel 150, you travel 150 days a year. And they were just being real. And I really appreciated that. I mean, and honestly, that had a big part to do with why I quit.
Influencing.
Cause, and I love those guys. I'm still friends with all of them, whatever, but they were just being honest, you know, and I appreciate that. And you get back to that transparency. I think, you know, you talk about the interview in your experience there. The reason that especially if you're running a startup in an early stage business, the reason that it's important to be really upfront with people that are interviewing is because if you are grossly misaligned with goals, objectives, and what you want to accomplish, that's probably not going to end very well. It's not.
You're looking for a win-win partnership here. And
yeah,
Those are the superpowers of transparency and authenticity.
Well, we seek a triple win at Full Scale. So we got to have a win for, it's got to be a win for our client, our employee, because here's the thing is these are people. They're not just numbers in a spreadsheet. So we have to match people up we vet our clients as much as we vet our employees. Because a shitty client with a great employee is going to end up not being a client and you're not going to have an employee. Our people are the most valuable asset we have. We have to interview 35 people to give one job offer.
To get the one.
That's typically the number there. But we have top people. So if we have people that are running them off, it's not a great thing. And then the third win's got to be for the company. And the more wins you can stack up. Now you got to be true to it though. Because it's business puts pressure on you and it makes you often make decisions that you would prefer not to make, but you feel like you have to make. And that's, I think, is a situation a lot of people I talk to now are in. They're like, well, I really would. I mean, I'd love to not have them as a client, but I don't know if I can afford to. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. I think when it comes to sales or anything, with sales, primarily for this example, there's two four-letter words that I'm in love with: sold and next. Next, but I think in life, like fucking A, people say next. Get like to the people you mentioned, and I'm kind of wrapping this up as we get towards the end where we do the founder's freestyle. So I'll let you prepare your closing arguments here. Why I buy you some time, Kelly. But no, the point is say next. Like so many people I talk to, they overcommit. They agree to do too many things for too many people to do, and they keep hanging around with people that are not going to elevate them. They are a weight, not something that helps you ascend. I mean, look, and people have asked, they're like, well, you did well at an early age. Well, I got the advice that what's easier for the people on top to pull you up or for you to climb the mountain by yourself? So when it comes to being around people that you want to be around, look for those that are going to pull you up to their mountaintop. And it doesn't matter who you are. There's always someone that's at a higher peak than you are. And don't be afraid to ask them, because someone probably pulled them up. And, I think that that's an important thing. It's whether you're male, female, whether you're 19, 39, 59, whatever, like look for those that are going to pull you up personally, professionally, and physically. So now, as I threatened earlier, we end our episodes with the founder's freestyle, and you've been an entrepreneur, a speaker, an author, all things very entrepreneurial. What is some advice that you can give to startup founders or entrepreneurs that want to do better?
Well, first of all, what you just said, surround yourself with people who get it. And I like the phrase, who are smarter than you. If you're the smartest person in the room, you are in the wrong room. That's one of the things I look at. The other thing is, so I am on, you talked about getting that advice when you were very young and starting. And this is a second career for me. I went from working in the corporate world as a spokesmom to running my own business as an entrepreneur and author and speaker. And probably one of the most powerful things that happened is one of my mentors, and I know a woman should never tell her age, haha. I turned 50 yesterday. And
happy birthday.
Thank you. One of my mentors is half my age. She is a year or two older than my daughter. And let me tell you, it was so funny because she said, Kelly, she goes, I just want to thank you so much for all your mentorship and for guiding me and helping me. And I really have taken a true interest in her career. And I said, I feel the same way about you. Talk about the win-win-win. Our careers win.
Yeah,
win,
well,
win.
That's... You never know where you're going to learn stuff. I mean, it's an age. Age doesn't define shit. It doesn't.
Exactly. Don't think your mentor has to have a certain title on their door. It's knowledge. It's personality. It's willingness to grow and to help you grow.
Sure. Yeah. Overall, I'm going to parlay off something you said. You talk about being around the right people. We had a guest, the CEO Whisperer, Cameron Harold in, and he was talking about employees, and he said, look, it's pretty easy to classify those that you're working with. He said, you have racehorses, you have workhorses, or you have those ready for the glue factory.
Oh, geez.
And but here's the thing. Business is tough. Entrepreneurship is tough. Startups are hard. And, you know, sometimes you have to look at your stable and say, man, we're going to have to make some room for workhorses and racehorses. And some of that is getting rid of the things I mentioned saying next. I talk so much about that in Balance Me and your personal or your professional life. If there are people that are dragging you down or infecting you with their negative bullshit, get rid of them. It's okay. And the hard part is sometimes they're your own family. So that becomes a little more complex, but you got to address that. You have to take that head on. This has been a very interesting conversation in an episode that was once again sponsored by fullscale.io. If you want to learn more about Kelly and her books, just scroll down, click the link in the show notes. I got to go because I am going to sit down and redefine my own quest for becoming wonderful. So I'll see you next time, Kelly.
Thank you. Talk soon.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.